We're currently taking a short break to refresh and recharge. In the meantime, this edition was first published in 2021. Welcome to God in the Ordinary, a podcast to help you reveal God to others during your everyday. Special guests share their stories with songwriter and author Sharon Tedford.
Today's guest went from sceptical paraffin salesman to passionate Bible teacher, all by way of an ordinary cheese sandwich. He tried to retire a few years ago, but God is using him to grow an international ministry, training thousands of pastors. My guest, LIM leader Keith King. I love making new friends here on the podcast, but I also really like it when I can have old friends. So Keith King, welcome to you, my friend.
Not so much of the old friends. Well, I am quite old, but it's great to be with you, Sharon.
We're just so pleased to have you chat with us and share with our listeners all of your great stories. Can you tell us where you live, Keith?
We live in Langley in Berkshire in England.
Yeah, a bit further away from here. And we were just chatting before we came on air about the stream and the animals and the flowers and everything in your back garden, because you have quite the country garden now, don't you?
Yeah, we do. And it's really beautified. You should see it when we moved in. It was nothing. But I have a wonderful wife who's incredible. She's the one with all the powers. When she walks amongst the flowers, she makes them grow. How about that?
And I will confirm to everybody, she really is a wonderful, wonderful lady. I love Lynn too. Keith, here on God in the Ordinary, we love to have our guests share with us their reflection on Isaiah 61, because that is a foundational chapter for us. Would you be able to share your thoughts on that for us, please?
It's been such a formative chapter for me. In fact, the whole of Isaiah is. I just love the truth that the one we worship is the good news God. Just as we see in Isaiah 61, we can bring good news to the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, and to those who mourn. Certainly, my wife and I were in desperate need of the Father's care when our son Simon died at the age of 25. I just know he is the good news God, because he has and is healing my own heart. And in the process, he has given me a burden for the poor and broken, and is using our charity, Langley Institute of Ministry, to give so many a future and a hope. One day, a book that I'm writing will materialize. Its title is Not Yet, because each chapter contains an incident which on a human level could have ended my life, but instead I've been on the receiving end of the Messiah's ministry. When I was born in 1950, my mother was told I would never survive. "You will not raise this child," the nurses said. She refused to accept that. Instead, she took me home and nursed me to life. The good news God used my wonderful mother to preserve me. In 1968, I was so devastated by a broken relationship with my fiancé that I drove my taxi to the top of Berry Head in Devon and wanted to drive over the edge. I didn't see any point in carrying on, but the good news God reminded me of words spoken to me by one of my customers. "Keith, God loves you." It was in 1970 that I eventually allowed the good news God to begin his deep healing in my broken world. More recently, during one of my ministry trips to Pakistan, the police received a tip-off that terrorists would be lying in wait for me the next day of my ministry, and they would kill me. The good news God foiled their plans and gave me an absolutely wonderful opportunity instead to minister at a sugar mill, and hundreds of people made a response to receive Jesus as their saviour. There are many more chapters. I believe that one day will be the right time for me to die, but not quite yet. God has given me a great passion to bring the good news to the poor and the marginalised. I want to enable them, especially pastors who've had no access to theological study, to have free Bible training so they can nourish the poor in their communities on the transforming Word of God. Such is the message of Isaiah 61.
It's good to hear a bit about your life as you reflected there in Isaiah 61, Keith. My first question to you really is going to be this. Can you help us understand why it took you a few years from that first conversation about Jesus to actually you submitting your life to him?
I wasn't brought up to go to church. It was at the age of 16 or 17 that I had my first wake-up call. I was driving my motorcycle. I was at art college at the time. I was driving it at high speed. Actually, I was under the influence of some drugs. And I went into the back of a vehicle and broke my legs. And I spent some time in hospital. It made me realize that I wasn't invincible. And for the first time in my life, I started to read a Gideon's Bible on the side of the bedside table in hospital. I can't remember what I read, Sharon, but I just know it was significant. I was just aware of the fact that God was there.
What led you from a small awareness of God to a complete submission to him?
Well, I left the hospital and I had to learn to walk again. And I started up my own business at the age of 17. I started knocking on doors and asking them if I could deliver my paraffin to them. And I got a contract with a local paraffin company. And I promised to sell them 25,000 gallons of paraffin in my first winter. Actually, I sold 27,000 gallons. The interesting thing was that by the end of my first year, I had 600 customers. And one of my customers was a born-again Christian. And she went on and on and on about this Jesus, who wasn't a religious character at all, which really threw me. He was just a person that loved me and wanted to get to know me. And suddenly I discovered that he had died on the cross for me to take away all my sin and guilt. That was really good news.
So really, we should be those people who go on and on and on about Jesus.
You know, I just knew that she really loved me. She took time to spend time with me. It was every Tuesday that I called on her and she put her two cans outside her door to be filled with paraffin, but she never actually put the money underneath, which meant I had to knock on the door. And when I knocked on the door, she invited me in. She made me cheese on toast. She knew I smoked. And so she put an ashtray beside my cheese on toast. And so she allowed me to smoke in her kitchen. She really was incredible, this woman. And by the time I was 20, she had witnessed to me every week for 3 years. And I came to the point where I took her up on an offer. She said, come to my house this next Tuesday because we're hearing a testimony of a young man who went to art college, who took all sorts of stuff. And yet he turned his life over to Jesus. Why don't you come and listen to him? And I did. And at the end of that evening, I was just totally gobsmacked because it was as though he was talking about my life. And I simply said a prayer at the end. I said, Lord Jesus, all this stuff is true. I need to know you. And I invite you to come into my life and be my savior and be my friend and come and cleanse all this garbage from me because I need to know you. And I need to make a fresh start. That's what I did.
What a fabulous example she was of living an ordinary life and doing ordinary things like making you cheese on toast.
She was never religious. She was just great. But I was so convinced that she really cared for me.
I love that story in the way that it gives us all hope. You know, sometimes when we start sharing Jesus with people or we start doing ordinary things like making them cheese on toast, we expect a really quick turnaround. But this lady did two things that we love here at God in the Ordinary. She used her ordinary life to talk to you about Jesus and she was consistent. She did it for 3 years. That gives us all hope, doesn't it? To just keep on talking about Jesus and doing things that are ordinary to reach Jesus.
Yeah, she never put the money under the tin, so I had to ring the bell. But also, she kept topping up a 40-gallon drum of paraffin in her shed because she didn't really need the stuff.
Wow. That's amazing. Look at her. She was an evangelist.
Bless her. More fuel her.
Did she know what happened to the rest of your life? Did she know that you ended up as a pastor?
Yeah, listen, this is absolutely true, Sharon. I said, what do you worship? Because I didn't know. She hadn't filled me in all the religious stuff. And she said, well, actually, I go along to a church in Torquay, Upton Vale Baptist Church. That is a church I sat beside as a taxi driver, watching all these people go in, hugging their Bibles and thinking, you'll never get me into there.
And God went, you just watch, Keith.
I went along there and it was a 900 seater and it was packed every Sunday. And when I looked up at the gallery, it was full of young people. And there were these amazing girls. And I thought, my goodness, where have I been? All these gorgeous chicks. And the truth is that some of these, you know, 18, 19-year-old girls had been praying for me because they had heard this woman talk about this paraffin salesman that she was meeting with every week. And that was incredible because at the end of this first service that I went to, they actually had a spot coffee bar. It was sort of like a nightclub where they invited mods and rockers to come in. For some of you, that will be a phrase that you're not used to, mods and rockers. And people that came in the scooters as well as motorbikes. And the police were queuing up outside because they expected big trouble. At a given point in any one evening, there would be someone who would stand up and give their testimony. On my first night at Upton Vale Baptist Church, I went into this spot coffee bar. There were coloured lights. You know, for me, it was so at home. But here's the thing. This gorgeous girl stood on the stage and she sang a most beautiful song about Jesus giving meaning to life. And this guy played a guitar beside her. And one of my first prayers was this. Please believe this is true. It was, Lord, if you can fix it for me to play the guitar for that girl, I'll do anything you want me to do.
Oh, that's really lovely.
And guess who this girl was?
Is it the Mrs. Lynn King?
Lynn Mary Vigers, who was to become my wife.
What a lovely story.
I used to play my guitar from the age of 16, 17, 18 in a hotel bar when there wasn't much doing on the taxi rank. So when I became a Christian, I put the guitar down. And here was a girl singing and using her gift for Jesus. And there was a guy beside her using his guitar. And I thought, Lord, I could do that. Isn't it neat the way God can take our gifts and somehow sanctify them and use them for himself? I think that's brilliant.
That is amazing. A couple of times you've said through this already that you wanted to do this or you wanted to do that and that life wasn't easy for you at the beginning. And yet here you have all these stories that even in the difficulty, God was with you. Even when you didn't know he was with you, he was with you. Isn't that just so lovely? You called God the good news God. I love the way you said that in your reflection. And we see that here. I wonder if you wouldn't mind talking to us a bit about your son, Simon. Maybe you could express to us, how did God use Simon's life to equip you for what you do now?
Well, for a start off, we never expected Simon. When he was born, he was 24 hours old, and we were told he was Down syndrome. And we didn't exactly know what that was. A general practitioner came into our room and told us he would never do the things that normal children do. We were devastated because we just didn't know what the future would hold. Little did we know that God was going to use this beautiful boy. Can I tell you just a minute about how my father came to faith in Christ?
Yes, please do.
He's a scientist. He built one of the largest telescopes in the Southwest. And we had so many robust conversations about who is God and who created the world. He was totally convinced in his atheistic position. When Simon was born, my mum and dad came to see him. I picked Simon up, put him in my father's arms, and he couldn't speak. We told him Simon was very, very special. Do you know, it was 3 weeks later that he told me what had happened. Remember that he had previously told me, unless I see God's hand in the heavenlies, moving the planets around, I will not believe. He told me that when he looked into Simon's face, he suddenly saw the face of an angel and he believed instantly. Suddenly, all his atheistic presuppositions, all his notions just disappeared and he believed in God. That's incredible, isn't it?
That really is a really incredible story that God used even a child who couldn't speak.
That's right.
Just a child who was breathing and brought in as a gift to you. And Simon was a very special young man. We loved him too.
Yeah.
So how do you think that raising Simon helped you to learn skills that you still use today?
it made us realize that you don't have to be profound to be a good communicator of Christian truth. Simon had such a simple faith. Do you know, when he was 16, he thumped the table at dinner one day and said, "Dad, I want to go underwater. I want to say, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is my Lord." And that's because he wanted to follow Jesus and he wanted to be baptized. And it made us realize that you don't have to be complicated in defining the Christian life. It is so simple. We make it so complicated. And that's the story of what I'm doing now with Langley Institute of Ministry, by the way. In so many ways, Simon was a tremendous lesson to us. He was, of course, ill many times in his early life. When he was 3, he had renal failure. He was rushed from Rochford Hospital in Southend to Great Ormond Street Hospital, and he was in a coma, and we were told not to expect him to survive. That was incredible, because Lynn and I just knelt beside our bed and we howled. And then we were told by a lovely old lady in our church in Southend, "Pastor, throw him so far into the presence of God that he's out of your reach." So Lynn and I put him into God's hands. It's almost unbelievable, but within 45 minutes, the hospital rang us to say, "We cannot understand, but you need to come because his kidneys have started working all by themselves." And it's been a lesson to us that when you can't, God can. When you can do nothing, there's nothing more that you can do. Pray. And a famous urologist, Dr. Ransley, realized the reason why his kidneys had failed was that his bladder was shot. It was causing back pressure up to the kidneys. So we thank God for the wonders of brilliant practitioners who use all their skill to save our son. And so God gave him back to us for 22 years. And during that time, he taught us so much of what it means to care for those who have very special needs. And actually, this is more wonderful. A few years later, Rachel was born to us. And then after that, Lois was born. And you know both these children, who are now wonderful girls, wonderful married girls. And Simon taught them so much as he was growing. Rachel taught Simon to crawl and to walk. He was 2.5 years old when he began to walk, but he was watching Rachel. And then he watched Lois as she did other things. So Simon has been such a miracle for us. Very special.
Thank you. He really was a very, very special young man, filled with the joy of Jesus, and everybody could see that in him. Thank you so much for talking about him and sharing him with us today. You're listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and my guest, Keith King. Keith, you mentioned a little bit about Lim just now when you were talking about Simon, and I really want our listeners to hear about the Langley Institute of Ministry. I know a little bit about your story, that you retired, except retirement turned into this enormous ministry. Can you tell us a little bit about the steps from, "Oh, I'm retiring," to "God has other plans"? What on earth happened?
Sharon, I was so blessed to be recruited by Stephen Gortroger. I think you've had him on your programme. He recruited me to be a pastor at Gold Hill Baptist Church. And I was blessed because during my time there, I had wonderful opportunities to go overseas. You know, I have a real mission heart. When I became a Christian, I believed that God wanted me to be a missionary. But it was during my 3 years of training in Glasgow that God pointed me not to the mission field overseas, but back to this country to serve the British church. And I did that for 37 years. When he called me to Gold Hill Baptist Church, we had over 30 missionaries serving God in various parts of the world. And I was particularly interested in visiting Africa. I worked with New Life Nyabini organization to minister to orphan children. We took over 30 children off the streets. They were foraging on rubbish dumps. So we constructed an orphanage and then go through school. We paid for them to go through school. And this was all so important for me. But as well as that, I was put in touch with many pastors who were leading churches in the Nyambini district, and I began to visit them every year, sometimes every other year, and give them free theological training. And this was the beginning of me sensing the tremendous need. Many of these pastors were intelligent and inspired and wonderfully effective in communicating the good news.
That's really good, Keith. So you were inspired to continue training people like that. That woke you up to the fact that people in other countries need access to good training so that they can train others in the same way. So I believe that your ministry started in India. What was it that drew you to India first?
I had the opportunity to go to India. I went to Cambodia and then India. By now, I was involved in Facebook and Twitter, and people were calling me and inviting me to come to conduct conferences and teach them. So I went to Bangalore in India, Bangalore as we know it, and I did a conference there for 150 pastors. And I was awakened there to the tremendous need. Shortly afterwards, a pastor in Pakistan wanted to be my Facebook friend. And I said, "Why do you want to be my Facebook friend?" He said, "Because you know Jesus, and I want to know Jesus like you know Jesus." And so I began to tell him, I said, "Okay, I will walk with you for 6 months. I will tell you everything I know about Jesus." And so within 3 months, he had given his life to Christ. He had led all his family to Christ and many in his colony to Christ. This was remarkable. And so this was February 2014. By November, I went to visit him. This is before I retired. By now, we had started a leadership center in his area. We had planted a church. We had started a school, a non-fee-paying school in his village. So when I went to visit him, I stood on the roof of his building and said, "Why don't we build a new school on the top of the roof of your building, of your home?" He laughed at me. And I said, "Please do your sums and tell me how much it would cost." And he came back and he said it would be £1,100 at least, Pastor. £1,100? You couldn't build a shed for that in my country. So anyway, within 3 months, we'd built a school on the top of his home. That was the beginning of what we call first floor ministries, because it was on the first floor of his building. The Pakistan authorities said, "Look, you cannot lead this organization because you're not qualified." Let me tell you that this man had a master's degree in English, but he could get no job because he was a Christian. This was 2015 by now. And I said, "What if I write a whole core curriculum for you?" And that's what I did. You see, he wanted to come to this country or go online and train to be a pastor. I made inquiries into 3 theological colleges, and the price that they would charge was just completely out of our reach. By now, we had 18 pastors wanted to train with us. So I decided to write a core curriculum. A great friend of mine is Stephen Cork Roger. And I said to Lynn, I said, "I'm going to ring Steve because he will always have good sense, common sense." So I rang him up and he said, "Keith, why don't you start a Bible college? You're qualified enough. You're stupid enough. Come on." And so Langley Institute of Ministry was born. I wrote a core curriculum of 10 modules. I sent it back to this person in Pakistan. He put it to the Pakistan government, the Ministry of Religion, and they agreed it would qualify him to lead our organization. That was the beginning of Langley Institute of Ministry. It's incredible, isn't it?
That's brilliant. Really, really brilliant. You know, I love that story that it started off with witnessing to one man.
Absolutely.
That is very ordinary. Often we hear about people who are witnessing to hundreds of people and we say, "Oh, I can't do that." But every one of us can talk to one person and then let God do the rest. So Keith, you started with this one man. If you could make an estimate now, how many people have you reached?
Thousands and thousands of people, because I've now got pastors who are pastoring 600 churches who we are training. We've got 2,644 students doing our certificate in theology and diploma in theology. And they are reaching thousands and thousands of people with the teaching that we are giving them. So it's very, 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 very exciting. You know, when I do a conference every other month in Tanzania, and we have over 150 student pastors that make their way to the conference. They sleep the night on a hard floor, and I teach them for about 8 hours, 4 hours in each day. But then there are many more questions that they give to me, and there are many hours spent in worship and other teaching. So that is wonderful. And they, amongst them, are reaching up to, between them, say 300 churches in the whole area of Tanzania. So the ripples are going out, and it excites me so much, Sharon, because, you know, who am I to do this? I'm just simply wanting to be obedient.
And isn't that the place that we all start? It just makes me think of the story of the loaves and the fish. You just bring what you have, and it may look very small to you, but God can multiply it to feed thousands of people, literally. So, Keith, you say that you are leading a monthly conference in Tanzania. So you're traveling there once a month?
No, I use Zoom. I would love to go. When I go to Kenya and then Tanzania and then Uganda. By the way, we are ministering to over 1,100 students in refugee camps in Uganda who have run away from the brutal warfare in southern Sudan and the United Democratic Republic of Congo. And so these are ministering to over 1 million refugees in Uganda, these pastors. And we've given Bibles to them. We give water to them. I'd love to tell you about our sustainable ministries. Because what we don't want to do is to maintain this idea that all people have to do is shout and we can shake our money tree and throw dollars or pounds at a problem. What we seek to do in LIM, Langley Institute of Ministry, is to give them the tools to develop an income stream for themselves. And so we've got a computer center in Pakistan. We've got 8 sewing machine centers in 7 different countries. We've got goat breeding projects. We've got freshwater projects. We've got maize growing projects in Uganda. And we want to start coffee growing and tea growing. You see, this imputes to people who have no hope. They begin to dare to believe that they can plant seeds and grow and determine their own destinies. Yeah. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's inspiring, Keith, that you really did reach one person. Would you tell us where people can find out more about Langley Institute of Ministry so that they can also learn and watch and see and pray along with you? What's your website and your social media and all of that? Would you tell our listeners, please?
Well, they can go on Facebook and see Langley Institute of Ministry. We've got a website, lim-study.com. So they can go on that website and they can look at all that we're doing. They can look at the core curriculum. They can look at the countries that we're serving in. They can also look at how they can pray for us, how they can give, and how they can serve, how they can become mission partners with us. We would love to partner with people. People are always sending in their prayer requests, prayer needs. So that would be a wonderful way you could help with us, please.
Lovely. Thank you. I really hope that people will come along and listen and learn from you, but also come along and stand beside you and pray for these thousands now of students who are reaching over 1 million people. That's really helpful. I have one last question for you. I know that you have the heart of an evangelist, and so I want to give you the opportunity in just maybe 2 sentences. If there is any listener who's listening in today wondering, what is it about God that is good news? What would you say to them?
God is a good news God because he loves every one of us. Stop thinking that you're not good enough or even that you're too good. None of these things are true. None of us are too bad. He loves us. He is a God of grace. None of us are too good. Actually, we all fall short of the standard. And I believe that deep down, every one of us know that to be true. We know that we fall short. We know that we need a helper. We know that we need forgiveness and cleansing. So please, you know, God is a breath away. You can pray to him right now. You can talk to him. You can just say, Father, I've blown it. I need you. Please reveal yourself to me. Get hold of a Bible. Read familiar verses like John 3:16 that tells you of his love. It's a global love, and yet it is an individual love. He knows you. He knows your name. He knows your address, and he loves you. Thank you so much for listening to me.
Thank you, Keith. It's been such a pleasure to have you on. I've really enjoyed learning about the cheese on toast lady, the brilliant urologists, the brave and faithful pastors, and how each one of those people have used ordinary things to now reach thousands of people. God bless you on your ministry. Thanks so much for joining us, Keith.
Thank you for inviting me. God bless you.
You've been listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and my guest, founder and head of LIM, Keith King. You can find Keith at his website, langleyinstituteofministry.org.uk.
For our show notes, go to 61-things.com. This podcast is a Wise Word Radio 61 Things co-production, and we pray that you're encouraged to reveal God in your everyday life.